পাদে করি হইনু পারাম সুখী। আত্ম নিবেদন পাদে করি হইনু পারাম সুখী। আত্ম নিবেদন তুবা পাদে করি হইনু পারাম সুখী। তুবা পাদে করি হইনু পারাম সুখী। দুঃখ দূরে গেল চিন্তন রহিল সদিকে আনন্দ দে। দুঃখ দূরে হেলো চিন্তন রহিল সদিকে আনন্দ দেখি। দুঃখ দূরে গেল চিন্তন রহিল সদিকে আনন্দ দেখি। দুঃখ দূরে গেল চিন্তন রহিল সদিকে আনন্দ দেখি। অশোক ভয় অমৃত আধার তোমার চরণ দ্বার। অশোক ভয় অমৃত আধার তোমার চরণ দ্বার। তাহাতে এখন বিশ্রাম লাভি ছাড়িনু ভবের ভয়, তাহাতে এখন বিশ্রাম লাভিয়া ছাড়ের ভয়। তোমার সংসারে করিব সেবন নাহিব ফলের ভাগি। তোমার সংসার করিব সেবন নাহিব ফলের ভাগি। খাব সুখ যাহে করিব যতন হয়ে পাদে অনুরাগী। তাব সুখ যাহে করিব যাতনা হয়ে পা ಅದೇ ಅನುರಾಗಿ ತೋಮಾರ ಸೇವಾಯ ದುಃಖ ಹೋಯಾ ಜಾತ ಸೇಯತ ಪಾರಮ ಸುಖ ತೋಮಾರ ಸೇವಾಯ ದುಃಖ ಹೋಯಾ ಜಾತ ಸೇಯತ ಪರಮ ಸುಖ
ತೋಮಾರ ಸೇವಾಯ ದುಃಖ ಹೋಯಾ ಜಾತ ಸೇಯತ ಪರಮ ಸುಖ
ಸೇವಾ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ಪರಮ ಸಂಪದ ನಾಶಯೇ ಅವಿದ್ಯ ದುಃಖ
ಸೇವಾಯ ದುಃಖ ಪರಮ ಸಂಪದ ನಾಶಯೇ ಅವಿದ್ಯ ದುಃಖ
ಸೇವಾ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ಪರಮ ಸಂಪದ ನಾಶಯೇ ಅವಿದ್ಯಾ ದುಃಖ
ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ಪರಮ ಸಂಭಾಜ ನಾಶಯೇ ಅವಿದ್ಯಾ ದುಃಖ
ಪೂರ್ವಾಇತಿಹಾಸ ಭೂಲಿನೋ ಸಾಕಾರ ಸೇವಾ ಸುಖ ಪೇಮನೆ
ಸೇವಾ ಸುಖ ಪೇಮನೆ
ಪೂರ್ವ ಇತಿಹಾಸ ಭೂಲಿನು ಸಾಕ ಸೇವಾ ಸುಖ ಪ್ರೇಮನೆ
ಭೂಲಿನು ಸಾಕ ಸೇವಾ ಸುಖ ಪ್ರೇಮನೆ
ಆಮಿ ತೋ ತೋಮಾರ್ ತುಮಿ ತೋ ಆಮಾರ್ ಕಿ ಕಾಜಯಾ ಪರದಾನೆ আমি তো তোমার তুমি তো আমার কি কাজ অপরাধানে ಭಕತಿ ವಿನೋದಾನಂದೆ ಡೂಬಿಯಾ ತೋಮರ ಸೇವಾರ ತಾರೆ
ಭಕತಿ ವಿನೋದ ಆನಂದೆ ತೋಮರ ಸೇವಾರ ತಾರೆ
ಭಕತಿ ವಿನೋದಾನಂದೆ ಡೂಬಿ ತೋಮಾರ ಸೇವಾರ ತಾರೆ
ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದ ಆನಂದಿ ಡೂಬಿಯಾ ತೋಮಾರ ಸೇವಾರ ತಾರೆ
ಸಬ ಚೇಷ್ಟಾ ಕೋರೆ ತವ ಇಚ್ಛಾ ಮಾತ ಥಾಕಿಯಾ ತೋಮಾರ ಘರೆ
ಇಚ್ಛಾ ಮಾತೋ ಥಾಕಿಯಾ ತೋಮಾರ ಘರೆ
সব চেষ্টা করে তব ইচ্ছা মত থাকিয়া তোমার ঘরে।
সব ইচ্ছা মত থাকিয়া তোমার ঘরে।
হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে।
This is in a series of songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur entitled Charanagati. The meaning is the process of surrender to Krishna. And there are six divisions of those songs corresponding with the verse from Padma Purana that indicate six different angas or limbs or aspects of surrender. And this is the sex. It's the section. There's eight songs. This is one of them. Surrender to Krishna. Dedication of everything, body, mind, and words to Krishna's service. So I'll just read the translation. I have become supremely happy by surrendering myself at your lotus feet. Sorrow has gone far away, and there are no more cares. All I see is joy in the four directions. There's a kirtan devotee exhibiting a little joy over there. Next. Your two lotus feet are reservoirs of immortal nectar that grant freedom from both sorrow and fear. Resting in them, I have found peace and have completely given up the fear of worldly existence. I shall render service in your household and never endeavor to enjoy the fruits of that service. Rather, I shall strive for whatever pleases you, being fully enamored by your lotus feet. All the troubles encountered in your service shall be the cause of great happiness, for in your devotional service, joy and sorrow are equally great riches. Both destroy the misery of ignorance. I have completely forgotten all of my past history by feeling in my mind the great joy of your service. I am indeed yours, and you are truly mine. What need is there of any other treasure? Bhaktivinoda sinks deeply into the ocean of pure bliss by engaging in your service. He devotes all his efforts according to your wishes while living in your house. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is our final session on this theme of acceptance and progress. So I titled this section, just from my own focusing on what the message is, Our Life Belongs to Krishna Forever. And Lord Chaitanya looks a little stretched there. What happened? Anyway. The gift of taking shelter of Krishna comes in a descending manner. Our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada is in this line of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we're recipients of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So it's as the just leave it alone, it's fine. Cool. So what happened? There we go. Okay. So the way of taking shelter of Krishna, understanding the goal, understanding the means to reach the goal, understanding who we are really and where our progress has taken us, really not something imagined or sentimental, but our real standing in material existence and in our spiritual well-being, all comes in this descending manner. And recognizing that descending mercy that's come, we're advised to take shelter. The elements of the song itself are very wonderful. I taught a course here in Gita Nagari for 1 week, and we just discussed the songs of Sharanagati. It was really a wonderful experience, because Bhaktivinoda takes his listener by the hand and gently takes them through the submission unto Krishna with all of its different features. It's very, very wonderful. Just within this one song, this statement, for example, the statement, Krishna, I am yours, and you are mine. What can there be a greater treasure than this? Just in that little phrase, there's volumes. Because the false identity is, we're this body. And we're independent, and we're going to make things happen, and we're going to get happiness, and get stuff, and you know, all the false ego things that go along with material existence. It means it's gradual, but eventually it's gone. And there's only one identity, and that's Krishna, I am yours. Because that's the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. And that's who we are, we're spirit soul. We're part and parcel of Krishna. So I am Krishna, I am your part and parcel. I am yours. I am your property. So property of someone, they can do what they want with that property. It's something like what Lord Chaitanya said to Vasudev Dutt. Very nice. Same message. He said, Vasudev Dutt, you have purchased me by your love and your compassion. Because Vasudev Dutt, his compassion was that he wanted all the conditioned souls in the material world, not just human beings, all the conditioned souls in the material world to be delivered by Lord Chaitanya. He pleaded. Again and again he pleaded, and please deliver them. And if you think some of them are too sinful, then I'll tell you what, just transfer all their sinful reactions to me. I'll accept their sinful reactions, but please deliver them. Please deliver them. The Lord Chaitanya said to Vasudev that, you have purchased me. I am your property. And he said it over and over again. I declare it again and again. I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. He can sell me at any price, whatever he likes. And again and again. I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. So, surrender from the devotee to Krishna is, I am your property. I am yours. You can do with me as you wish. As in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam prayers. You can embrace me, you can neglect me, you can trample me under your feet, you can do with me whatever you like, because I am surrendered unto you. There's only one thing I ask, please keep me engaged in your service. Of course, that's the constitutional position of the soul. But it's the submission, please keep me engaged in your service. And the other side, there is, in material consciousness, there is false ego, and then there's the false sense of proprietorship that goes with false ego. I and mine. So by saying, I am yours, then what's mine? You're mine. Not like, you know, put Krishna in my pocket and walk down the street. Now I got a lot of stuff in my pocket. So it's not that kind of possessiveness. It's my relationship with Krishna. Everything else can be taken from me. That cannot be taken from me. That's mine. There's I and mine. I am yours and you are mine. Very nice. And what greater treasure can there be than this? So in other words, someone may be looking for treasure, whatever that is. Some people have different ideas of what treasure is, and they're running after it. But compare that treasure and this treasure. What greater treasure can there be than this? Let me invest my full, enthusiastic energy to be situated in this merciful treasure just bestowed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the process of surrender. And we're going to hear some additional things now, starting with Rupa Goswami's. There's just two sections in Nectar of Devotion, which is, Nectar of Devotion is Prabhupada's summary study of this. What's a good adjective? Outstanding, the superlative of all the writings of Rupa Goswami, which were many. This Nectar Devotion or Bhaktivinoda Sindhu was considered foremost. And I'm going to read two sections from Nectar Devotion. The first is from chapter 1, and the chapter heading is Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service, and the subsection called Relief from Material Distress. Just a few paragraphs. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that one should surrender unto Him, giving up all other engagements. The Lord also gives His word that He will protect surrendered souls from the reactions of all sinful activities. Rupa Goswami says that the distress from sinful activities is due both to the sins themselves and to the sins committed in our past lives. Generally, one commits sinful ignorance. But ignorance is no excuse for evading the reaction dash more sinful activities. Sinful activities are of two kinds, those that are mature, those that are not yet mature. The sinful activities for which we are suffering at present are called mature. The many sinful activities stored within us for which we have not yet suffered are considered immature. For example, a man may have committed criminal acts but not yet been arrested for them. Now, as soon as he is detected, arrest is awaiting him. Similarly, for some of our sinful activities, we are awaiting distresses in the future. And for others which are mature, we are suffering at the present moment. In this way, there's a chain of sinful activities and their concomitant distresses. And the conditioned soul is suffering life after life due to these sins. He is suffering in the present life the result of sinful activities from his past life, and he is meanwhile creating further sufferings for his future life. Mature sinful activities are exhibited if one is suffering for some chronic disease, if one is suffering from some legal implication, if one is born in a low and degraded family, or if one is uneducated or very ugly. There are many results of past sinful activities for which we are suffering at the present moment, and we may be suffering in the future, due to our present sinful activities. But all of these reactions to sinful deeds can immediately be stopped if we take to Krishna surrender. As evidence, Rupa Goswami quotes Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 14th chapter, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, where he says, "My dear Uddhava, devotional service unto me is like a blazing fire which can burn into ashes unlimited fuel supplied to it." The purport is that as the blazing fire can burn any amount of fuel to ashes, so devotional service to the Lord in Krishna consciousness can burn up all the fuel of sinful activities. For example, in the Gita, Arjuna thought that fighting was a sinful activity. But Krishna engaged him on the battlefield under his order, and so the fighting became devotional service. Therefore, Arjuna was not subjected to any sinful reaction. And he gives other quotes from Kapila Dev speaking to Devahuti, where Kapila Dev says essentially the same thing. These processes or devotional service are such that even if one is in one of those unfortunate sinful conditions, low born, etc., etc., by devotional service one becomes qualified to do the activities of a brahmana, perform Vedic rituals and sacrifices. So the sinful reaction is removed by the process of devotional service, which is the surrendering unto Krishna. You can't do devotional service without surrendering unto Krishna. Even if it's accidental, there's still some surrender unto Krishna. Krishna is very kind. But if the conscious effort of submission unto Krishna is there, then it's very strong. With the Gita that teach the same message besides this final instruction of Krishna given in the 18th chapter. Because the whole of Bhagavad Gita, in one sense, is about devotional service. There are other processes of yoga that they're subsets or elements of devotional service. But the essence is devotional service, and the essence of devotional service is this submission unto Krishna. Two verses that are outstanding in this regard. Krishna says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Pranipat means submission. We submit ourselves to Krishna by submitting ourselves to one who's dear to Krishna and connected to Krishna. Or where Krishna says, living entities are struggling very hard with the material nature, but one can easily cross beyond that struggle with material nature by surrendering to him. Mam eva prapadyante. Prapadyante means surrender. Pranipat and prapadyante, submission and surrender. It goes against the grain of material life. Who wants to surrender? That's bad. Now you're subordinate. You're supposed to get on top, and now you're putting yourself down below. What crazy person wants to do that? I've worked so hard to get on top as high as I am, and now you want me to go down below? See you later. But it's the spiritual position is that's the reality, and the illusory position is we're independent and we're trying to create power base, or as I said yesterday, our God project, while we're living in this world, like control and own and enjoy and make our little kingdom. And all conditioned souls, even in all of the species, they do that. They're like, you know, territorial. This is my territory. Dogs do it. Birds do it. You know, snakes do it. You know, humans do it too. But it's just part of the material consciousness is that, and we need to let go of the material consciousness. But it's like stuck to us. It's really, even if we want to let go, we don't really want to let go. But if we let go, then what's our position? We have to take shelter of something else. If we don't take shelter of something else, we'll be back there. So in fact, if we take shelter of Krishna, it dissolves all of the other. This section in the first chapter is specifically, it dissolves all material miseries. The problem is, we want the kingdom of God. We want the kingdom of God without God. You've heard that expression before? The kingdom of God without God. You know what that means? Ta-da! It's my kingdom. Watch me. I know how to manipulate this kingdom place. Whoops, there's somebody else that thinks they know how to do it too. And there's a whole bunch of other somebody else's. So we clash over, you know, whose property and whose system of enjoying is better than the other person's system of enjoying, and it gets really messy. Now I want to read another little section from chapter 11 of Nectar of Devotion. It's entitled Aspects of Devotional Service. So there's 64 items, and one of them is this one. This one that we were speaking about this morning. We're in Krishna's disposal forever. Our body, our mind, our words, and even the soul itself. Maybe you noticed that last slide, it was Radha Damodar. On the bus party, where there's on this side Vishnu Jan Swami and on this side Tamal Krishna Maharaj. It's a really nice history. I mean, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was totally surrendered to Prabhupada, taking the responsibility in the early days of, when we didn't have anything in India. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the GBC under Srila Prabhupada for India. And Prabhupada wanted to establish Krishna consciousness in India, so he put his best man who could take Mission Impossible and get it done. There's like so many examples. Something like 15 devotees. Prabhupada wanted some land in Mayapur. 15 devotees went and tried. Everybody failed. He sent Tamal Krishna, was done. He just like, he knew how to get things done. And boy, did he get things done. If there was anything in the way, he just got knocked over. It was out of the way. And, you know, involvement for years with this struggle over the land with Juhu, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I knew the statutes of the city of Bombay better than new verses of Bhagavad Gita. Because he just was so invested in what was needed to get the task done. So, it was very difficult service. So after doing that for some time, a year, 2 years, or whatever, the 3 years, whatever the period was, he asked Prabhupada for relief. We'd heard Kalakanta describe this when we were just this past weekend at the Houston Temple opening, the grand opening of their new temple. So he described, it's a little deviation from the topic, but it's nice. He described, he was the president of the Houston Temple when it started, a little rented, kind of dilapidated house, because that's all they could afford, on Rosalie Street. And then they got this nice idea, maybe we should buy a place. So they had three different options, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj looked and saw the one that they now have, and he said, that's it, buy it. Make an offer right now. So they bought, like it was a piece of land with a like an old, kind of broken down church, and a little, like a Sunday school room over there, and made of bricks, and that was in good shape, but the building was old, broken down in a poor Hispanic neighborhood, kind of industrial area kind of thing. People didn't have enough money for owning houses. They had like trailer parks. So they bought it. And I forget the history. Going to share Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I forgot the thread. Yes. Thank you. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada. Yes. Kalakanta was saying he asked Prabhupada permission to leave his service in India, which Prabhupada was very dependent on him, to go to America and preach with Vishnu Jan. Prabhupada was reluctant, but at the same time he was very grateful, and he saw that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was burned out, and he was kind of like probably burning other people out because he was burned out. So he gave his permission. And then something like 5 months later, Prabhupada came to America. And Prabhupada was challenging him. So, what have you accomplished? You've been here for... You were doing so much service in India, and you've come here, what is it? What have you done? So, at the door, were waiting 15 brahmacharis, each with a rose in their hand, and they came in and offered the rose to Prabhupada and paid their obeisances. He said, you have done very good. Radha Damodar bus party with Vishnu Jan Swami. Full surrender unto Krishna. Of course, he had his little, like, you know, things that he wanted too, but full surrender to Krishna and Prabhupada. So here's, so they're both holding dandas. You noticed in the picture? And would you like to know what's inside a danda? I'll tell you, make one when I took sannyas. And I didn't know until I had to make one. So there are four bamboo rods that are inside that cloth wrapped around the danda. And three of them go up to that curved part. Excuse me. Four of them go all the way to the top. The fourth just goes to the curved part. And the three signify body, mind, and words. Body, mind, and words. And then there's the soul. And that goes, there's the fourth rod that goes up to that curved part. I don't know that, like, the significance of the curved part. So, in the order of sannyas, one is to dedicate completely body, mind, and words, and of course soul to the Supreme Lord. And when paying obeisances, one touches the tip of the danda to the ground before paying one's obeisances, body, mind, words, and soul in service to Krishna. And that doesn't mean, okay, I'm a householder, I don't have to do that. Because there's just a different way of doing that. There's a different ashram of doing the same thing, because surrender is appropriate for any ashram. It says the form is different, but the substance is the same. So now here's Prabhupada writing on this item of aspect or of transcendental service. Prabhupada writes, Chapter 11, Nectar Devotion, regarding complete self-surrender. There is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter. This is again Uddhava Gita, where Krishna says, a person who has come unto me and has completely given up all the other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is to be understood as having already achieved sharshti, which means liberation, where you're as opulent as the Supreme Lord, even in this life. Krishna says, it is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that as soon as one surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him and gives him a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. He also instructs from within so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement toward spiritual perfection. So it's the password into higher levels of information and instruction and inspiration and everything of the spiritual world is this submission and surrender unto Krishna. And the worldly things fade. The worldly things receive energy from our hesitation to surrender, or worse, are going away from Krishna, trying to be separate enjoyers from Krishna. Then the material energy takes on a very powerful, mesmerizing effect. And then we find ourselves navigating our way between the two, called, this word is called balance. How do I balance my life in Maya and my life in devotional service? Because service, it's everything is for Krishna. Anyway, according to different authorities, self it's italicized, is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered refer to the spirit self or soul. And self sometimes is considered to refer to the mind or the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering one's self as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. It's a different one than this one, but or the one we sang, but it's from the same section. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he says, "My mind, my household affairs." He said it twice in this song. "My house is yours. I've now become a resident in your house. My body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, that which is mine is yours." Offered in your service. Now you can do with them whatever you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. And so if you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as mine. Except one thing, my relationship with you. Sri Jamunacharya, in his prayers to the Lord, has expressed a similar idea in the following words. "My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or as a demigod, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature, and I, who am in possession of these bodies, am surrendering myself unto you." Just two more short paragraphs. In Hari Bhakti Viveka, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his body in self-surrender. There the devotee says, "My dear Lord, as a souled animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance, so, because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance." In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. It's not an ad license to be negligent. It means I do these things as service, not as over here is something in relation to God where I pray and over there I do my worldly things. They're not separate. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. That's this vyavasayatmika buddhi. In all the varieties of things that we do, there's one thing. That's the center. Last, Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service in friendship, if you remember from yesterday, Vrindavan Das Thakur's appearance, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he was in the mood, the rasa, of friendship with Krishna. So Rupa Goswami is writing here, devotional service in friendship and devotional service in self-surrendered are two difficult processes. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. So we just have to become advanced, right? That's all. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender, which is mixed with sincere, ecstatic devotion. One must give himself completely to the will of the Lord. So once again, our acceptance and our progress, the theme. It's rare that we, it's for us, it's mixed. I call it the two-pocket program. So much for Krishna, so much for me. So much for Krishna, so much for me. Me, 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 Krishna, Krishna. And this is a one-pocket program. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Rama, Raghava, Rangamama, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. Only one pocket. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. In all circumstances. No exception. All circumstances. The complete dedication unto Krishna. So then that's the goal, and we're down here. So we seek, according to our capacity, to submit ourselves unto Krishna like that. And we understand that's my aspiration, that's my goal. I don't have any bad feeling or resentment towards the goal. Wait a minute, I want my independence. I recognize that I have this tendency for independence. That's what got me into this mess. Tendency is still there. But I aspire for, and I'm striving for, and I'm seeking that strength from you, Krishna, to come to that position of full surrender, step by step, step by step, step by step. This is like the closing the gap thing from one of the other messages. So we cultivate. That's, again, Rupa Goswami's language. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavratam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. Very important verse, is the essence of the whole of nectar devotion, and Prabhupada takes this phrase anushilana from that verse. Anu means to follow, and shilana means behavior or conduct. Anu shilana, cultivation, he translates it. So we're here, we want to be there, and so we cultivate. We follow the activities of great souls. I don't imitate, but I follow the activities of great souls. And so we offer our prayers to personalities like Rupa Goswami and hear his instructions and become inspired by them, and according to our capacity, we take a step. And then with that step, we feel Krishna's reciprocation 100 times more than our little step. Whoa, that was good. Now we do another step. Another step. Whoa, here comes Krishna's reciprocation. So it's like that. It's like a child. Prabhupada's example, nectar devotion example, is like a child learning to walk. Propensity is there, and just by gradually, gradually, gradually trying to walk, one can walk. Next thing they know, the child's running here and there and won't non-stop. But there's the learning of the walking ability, the motor skills of the legs and so forth. Not so coordinated at first. Same for us, not so coordinated. We make some messes and... But just continue to try under proper guidance, strive according to right means in Krishna's language of Bhagavad Gita, and the event comes out. So, maybe it's not going to play on your computer. There's a that little horn in the right-hand corner is supposed to be Prabhupada singing Shikshastakam, verse 3. That's okay. No problem. This is the verse. So, like in Lord Chaitanya's teachings about the glories of the holy name, he then says, however one may know all these glories, I don't have any attraction. Durdaivam idirshi mahajani nanuraga. No anurag. No attraction. For that which I know is going to bring me to the shelter of Krishna, I have no attraction. So then he offers this verse as that which can us come to the position of taking full shelter of Krishna. So I'm just going to do this quickly and then we'll take some questions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's quoted. He's instructing, raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for constant remembrance. Like an ornament, right? Wears a necklace, you wear it around your neck and for remembrance, and it's very beautiful. So it starts Trinadapi Sunichena, where one is thinking oneself lower than a downtrodden blade of grass. You can see Sanatan Goswami taking blades of grass, putting the blades of grass in his teeth and holding the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. This lady had a different idea. She was so enthusiastic to see Lord Jagannath that while Lord Chaitanya was standing by the Garuda Stambha, she climbed on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders, standing on his shoulders, so she could look above the crowd and see Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya's servant was telling the lady, get down, this is Lord Chaitanya, what are you doing? And Lord Chaitanya said, no, 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 she's so enthusiastic. If only I had such enthusiasm to see Lord Jagannath, I would be a great soul like this lady. Let her climb on my shoulders. So Lord Chaitanya is considering himself lower than the braid of glass which people step on and don't think about it. So she felt, she was very embarrassed. She just like lost it, and then she realized, whoa, what have I done? And she got down and offered obeisances and pleaded forgiveness. She got the best of her. Lower than a blade of grass. Here's Prahlad Maharaj being tortured by the followers of Hiranyakashipu in a pit of snakes. But he remained very tolerant and very fearless. Here is Raghunath Das Goswami. Should be chanting with his beads on his right hand. I don't know what happened. The picture is reversed, I think. But in any case, he was chanting by the side of Radha Kund in the heat of summer season, blistering, burning, scorching rays of the sun. But he was so tolerant of the heat of the sun because he was so absorbed in chanting of the holy name that Srimati Radharani came and shielded with her own cloth. She held her cloth to put him in the shade so his skin wouldn't burn. And you see this pool of perspiration going down from her perspiration going into the waters of Radha Kund with Sanatan Goswami watching the whole scene. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant so that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada's statement here. Amanina, not expecting any respect. This is Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, who went to appeal, plea with Jaghai and Madhai in the marketplace. Chant Hare Krishna! They were so drunk they took clay pot and threw the clay pot and hit him in the head. And his head was bleeding. So he wasn't saying, oh, you're bad people. He just continued, never mind, just chant the holy name. Not expecting respect when we go forward and encourage people in spiritual practice. Or Maharaj Ambarish, who didn't do anything to offend Durvasa Muni, but Durvasa Muni took offense anyway, and created this fiery demon by his mystic power to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Or Prabhupada, who went from tea stall to tea stall in Delhi, selling his Back to Godhead magazine to people who were obviously not so interested. We may do the same thing. You probably spoke about this during your presentation. Similar. Nonetheless, without expecting respect, we stay in the mood of service, taking shelter of Krishna, trying to please him, and ready to offer all respects to others, whether it's a saintly person or an elderly person or the cow or the ant. This is Magari, who has previously was a hunter, now he became a Vaishnava and he was offering respects to the ant. Prabhupada spoke about even mice. One should treat even animals like deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, and birds exactly like one's children. Prabhupada's father was a grain merchant. And so he kept in the storeroom where there's the bag grain, so these little guys could come and take their grains nicely without eating holes in the bags of grains. Prabhupada commented. Or Haridas Thakur, who was very tolerant of this humongous snake that was living in the cave, was poisonous, and the poison was so bad, the fumes were making people's eyes burn. They couldn't even open their eyes to come and see Haridas. So Haridas said, I'm fine, but if it disturbs you, I'll leave. Saying that, the snake left. Oh. Offering all respects to others without any expectation in return, in such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. For those guests that don't know, this is a photo of Bhakti Tirtha Swami in his final days as he left his body here in Gitanagari with a terminal cancer condition. And he's just in the kirtan, hearing the kirtan, barely able to sit up, but just absorbed in the sound of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So we'll end and see if there's any comments or questions from anybody. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned the two-pocket program. Hmm. So, what is the stage of the mixed bhakti? It is two-pocket or one-pocket?
Mixed?
Mixed bhakti.
Two.
Okay.
Next question. Yeah.
Maharaj, this is on the point of treating different animals as one's children. It was brought to my attention by one family who was going through some infestation problem with mice and cockroaches in their home. So, they were looking for advice, like what to do with such a situation. So, I'm wondering, what would be an appropriate advice for...
Here's Prabhupada's appropriate advice. Clean. then there's the yeah but. We cleaned and still there. Clean again. This is Prabhupada. We had a situation like that in a temple in New York. So that was Prabhupada's instruction. And then, you know, so they did, and it was still a problem, and it was a problem. So Prabhupada said, after you have, if you leave uncleanliness, and such creatures find some food. But you take away the food, the uninvited guest will go away. But if they don't go away, only then can you do the other, you know, the exterminating program. Varsana Maharaj told me a similar story or exchange with Prabhupada in New Vrindavan. So they were trying to do the self-sufficiency program. But, you know, the deers heard about it. Hey, the Hare Krishna guys are doing a self-sufficiency program. Yummy, let's go. And they ate everything. So then the devotees asked Prabhupada, can we do something? And he said, put up high fences. They said, well, we tried it, but they jump over the fence to make the fence higher. That was Prabhupada. So they'll find food elsewhere.
Okay. Thank you.
All the way in the back. Because he tried one of the other times and we didn't get to him.
Maharaj, in some of the presentations that happened before, it was said that we should not act beyond our adhikar. So basically, but like this Trinadapi Sundichena verse, like every single thing that's mentioned in that, it seems like it's an Uttamadhikari platform, so...
It seems like a what platform?
Uttamadhikari platform.
Why?
I mean...
Why?
Like all...
I'm serious, I'm asking, why do you say that?
Like being tolerant to an extreme level, so it looks like...
The answer to that is to our capacity. You know, for me, it's for one person, it may be a stretch to, you know, to not speak harshly. For another person, I'll just remain silent. In another person, it's a stretch to, like, say nice things instead of just, you know, biting my tongue. Then for another person, it's a stretch to, like, see that soul as eternally engaged in Krishna's service because that's their constitutional position. That's the Uttam Adhikari. The tolerant is way down here. So it's first instruction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? It's not the Uttama Adhikari advice at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Tongues to tikshas from Bharata, isn't it? So according to our capacity, we're to act. Exactly what this whole discussion has been. It's not, unless you're at the topmost platform, it's either a 10 or a 0. No. It's, and then, you know, the platform, and then the regulations according to that platform, and striving even then, striving, aspiring for the next, and when one is well situated, the next, and then the next, and then the next. Go towards the transcendental position incrementally. Yes, Mahamantra, you're very enthusiastic.
Guru Maharaj, when hearing and chanting is good, thoughts will go for doing some activity or procuring something for deities and...
I'm waiting for the flip side, the other side of the coin.
But the sometimes the thoughts are like, I don't know, they're ridiculous, like how about having some program of like inviting 10,000 people, new people to chant, So, but then, what? How do I do it? And but may not be the result. But how do I? What does it take to do that kind of effort, or is it?
This is a curious question. I'm not even sure what you're clear what the question is. But how do we? I'll give you an answer that's an incremental answer. Get one person to chant. And get that, you know, then we can introduce people to chanting, and then
sustain.
How to get them to chant regularly, and then how to get them to chant attentively. Whoa. You know how to do that? You have to chant attentively.
Yes, sir.
The problem's over there, right? Not over here? Problem. Okay. Thank you. Anything on ladies' side? Any questions, comments? Okay. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. And Trinadapi Sunijana, Tarapi Sunijana. That when we become very humble, sometimes the other people, you know, they take advantage of that.
Yes, become humble anyway.
Thank you. And in Ramayana, there is an instance, you know, when Lord Rama prayed the sea god Varun Devata for 3 days.
Could you say it again more clearly, please?
Yeah, when Lord Ram prayed for the ocean for 3 days.
Okay, that Ram prayed for the ocean for 3 days.
But the ocean didn't
didn't do anything. Who's this guy?
Then Lord Ram said, "Oh, this is a foolishness to show the humbleness to the, you know, who
and
doesn't
you,
understand."
You want to imitate, right?
Yeah. No.
I've seen it. More than once.
So what to do first?
Remain humble. That's what to do.
Thank you.
Krishna is your protector. You have something?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Guru Maharaj, when we consult the authority and our spiritual master for taking a guidance in one direction, and we receive the suggestions.
Receive the suggestion.
What direction?
How to carry out our service and what direction to go,
what
and then.
To go. Though we have a mixed thoughts, and we are not ready to go in that direction.
I've noticed.
We are not ready to go in that direction. So, as you mentioned, the degree we take shelter, the Krishna reciprocates in 100 times. So at this moment we are not ready, but as a theoretical understanding, you know, you have to take that direction that will help you to progress more. By just thinking on that direction, will Krishna reciprocate more to encourage?
Yeah. Well, you have to begin somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
I've got some resistance, but I'm thinking about it. Oh. Yay! That's a good beginning. You know, and then let's see what Krishna does. He may pat you on the head. He may kick you in the backside. He may do, you know, a number of different things to get you to move. Bang you on the head. You know, he may do different things. May just leave you alone. That's awful, isn't it? But in any case, Krishna is there, and you start even contemplating, Krishna, please help me. I'm in this space where, like you just described, and I'm uncomfortable. I know it's not pleasing to you. I know it's not good for me, but that's the space I'm in. You're contemplating, and you're offering prayer to Krishna. He'll help you. So according to our position and according to exactly what the topic has been, accept our position and aspire to move closer to Krishna with whatever capacity and intelligence and ability Krishna has given you. That's our whole weekend together. Anything else? Yes. Last question, actually.
Maharaj, I have a question. The verse which we quoted, Trinadabhi Sunishana.
Which one?
The Trinadabhi Sunishana.
Okay. Shikshastakam 3.
Yeah. The question is, sometime when we come across criticism in the temple setting or at work, application of this verse always confuses me. Does it mean that we don't defend being more tolerant than the tree, or always giving respect without expecting respect in return, or more tolerant than a tree, or humble than a grass? This all sounds like it makes me very vulnerable, and especially in a situation at work, or even sometime at temple when subject hope of arguing or defending and just accept whatever.
I've understood the question. Are you ready for the answer? I'll refer to the example of Narada. Narada with Daksha, Narada with Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. Both were insulting in different ways, but they were insulting, disrespecting. He said nothing because he wasn't, you know, that expecting respect. He wasn't expecting respect. He's Narada Muni. He's already equitable. So, rather, he considered the situation in both cases. What would be good? What is the situation? And what is appropriate to help, to be in service? There's the key. To be in service in this situation, the mood of humble mood of service, and then according to the intelligence given to him by Krishna, because he was a pure devotee, he had access to the Krishna channel. So Krishna gave him a signal. This will be good for this situation. This will be good for that situation. This will be good for another situation, in the mood of service. So service in the workplace and service in the temple is appropriate for the place and the circumstance. Universal is the mood of service, but the mood of service just goes somewhere else. If I get in this, as you use the word, defense. Krishna's my defender, and I'm his servant. That's surrender. Correct? There's six limbs of surrender, and one of the six is Krishna is my protector. Rishikshate Rakshashati Te Vishvaso. Krishna is my protector. And I'm my protector. Krishna is my protector, and I'm his servant. So now how to best serve? That's what you should do. That's the place to take shelter. It's the Krishna conscious position. Take Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was insulted by Ramchandra Puri, he didn't do anything. He cut his eating in half. Although he was eating little, he cut it, get the little in half. And everyone was, oh, this is horrible. But he was teaching them by his example. In each situation that you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, in some cases he was strong, in some cases he was very meek. But in all cases he was, you know, transcendental and considering the best way to serve. So that's what you should do, including in the workplace. Now it may be you have to have some sense of the people in the workplace and what's going to be best for the situation. It's not one thing fits all situations. Narada Muni wasn't like that at all. Different situations, he was very, very different. You won't be able to identify what's the best means, the most appropriate and most effective means of being in service if you're not in the mood of service. If you are, then Krishna will empower your intelligence to understand what's the best means of being in service to help this particular soul in this circumstance. You'll be in a defense mode, and the service just went out the window. Okay? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.